Well, Elroy is, he's one sly fox. He's a smart dude. Because he's the only one that figured out I was preaching on family this morning, and he just lined up all the pews with his family. And I'm just wondering, what about the rest of you guys? Where's the rest of your families? I mean, come on. I mean, he's showing you guys up. No, it is a blessing to be back from our trip. Last week we worshiped with New Life Baptist Church in, I think it was Franklin, Indiana. And we had a wonderful time worshiping with them, but it is good to be back with our home church family. And we missed you guys a lot. We had a wonderful trip. God richly blessed us, and we are thankful for the time away, and we are thankful to be back with you guys this morning. We're going to be looking at family for at least several weeks. We're going to be looking at this institution that God created, this wonderful thing takes up all of our time. it drives everything that we do, right? Family is very important. And the first thing that God says about family is that it is very good. Family is good. It's a good thing. Genesis 1, 26 through 31, it says, "And God said, let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, over the cattle, over all the earth, over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth." And so God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. And then God blessed them, and God said to them, "Be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and subdue it. Have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves on the earth." And God said, "See, I have given you every herb that yields seed, which is on the face of all the earth, and every tree whose fruit yields seed, to you it shall be for food. Also to every beast of the earth, to every bird of the air, and to everything that creeps on the earth in which there is life, I have given every green herb for food." And it was so. And then God saw everything that he had made, and indeed it was very good. So the evening and the morning were the sixth day. If you go back and look at the first chapter of Genesis, you'll see after God gets done creating everything he created that day, he looks at what he had made. And every day he said, it was good. This was good. What I did today was good. But then on the last day, when he created man and woman in his own image, and he gave them dominion over the earth, and he said, "Be fruitful and multiply," he looked at what he had done, and he said, "This is very good." Family is very good. God said it. God designed it. We see in Genesis chapter 2, we see a further explanation of this. "Then the Lord God took the man and put him in the garden of Eden to tend and keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, 'Of every tree of the garden you may freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for in the day that you eat of it you shall surely die.' And the Lord God said, 'It is not good that man should be alone. I will make him a helper comparable to him.' And out of the ground the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every bird of the air and brought them to Adam to see what he would call them. And whatever Adam called each living creature, that was its name. And so Adam gave names to all cattle, to the birds of the air, and to every beast of the field. But for Adam there was not found a helper comparable to him. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall on Adam, and he slept. And he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh of its place. And then the rib which the Lord God had taken from man, he made into a woman, and he brought her to the man. And Adam said, 'This is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man. And therefore a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. And they were both naked, and the man and his wife, and they were not ashamed.'" And so we see that God not only declared that family is good, we see that God designed the family as good. We also see further in Scripture the teaching that family is good. In Proverbs 18:22, it says, "He who finds a wife finds a good thing and obtains favor from the Lord." Proverbs 19:14 says, "Houses and riches are inheritance from the fathers, but a prudent wife is from the Lord." And Psalm 127:3-5 says, "Behold, children are a heritage from the Lord." That word heritage is like a gift passed down, like an inheritance. "Behold, children are a heritage from the Lord. The fruit of the womb is a reward. Like arrows in the hand of a warrior, so are the children of one's youth. Happy is the man who has his quiver full of them. And they shall not be ashamed, but shall speak with their enemies in the gate." Family is a good thing. It's a wonderful thing. Now, you might say, "You haven't met my family." Well, unfortunately, just as family is a good thing, and as man was created good or innocent, we say, the curse of sin has affected all things, and that includes the family relationships as well. And so we're going to take a minute to look at what is this thing called the family. A family is one husband and one wife committed for life. A family is one husband and one wife committed for life. Genesis 2:24, "Therefore a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and they shall become one flesh." Hebrews 13:4 says, "Marriage is honorable among all, and the bed undefiled, but fornicators and adulterers God will judge." Marriage is an honorable thing. It is a good thing. Matter of fact, God looked at it and said, "This is very good." Unfortunately, in our society today, many other things are being called family that really aren't family. Marriage is honorable. Everything else is a perversion. What is a perversion? It's when you set out to make something and it gets messed up. It's perverted. It's messed up. It's went off of the direction that it was supposed to go. And so, marriage is one man, one woman committed for life. Everything else is a perversion. Adultery, one of the Ten Commandments, Exodus 20:14 says, "You shall not commit adultery." That's not hard, is it? That don't take a rocket scientist to figure out what that means. You shall not commit adultery. It's wrong. Don't do it. Right? Homosexuality, Leviticus 18:22. "You shall not lie with a male as with a woman. It is an abomination." It's not hard to figure out. You shall not do it. There's no question mark. There's no culturally relevant, "Oh, hey, if your society says it's okay, it's okay." It's just don't do it. It's disgusting. It's an abomination. It's gross. It's horrible. Don't do it. Now, some people will say, "What right do you have to push your view on me?" And I would simply say, it's not my view. God created the world for himself. He is the creator. Imagine if you painted a beautiful picture. The most beautiful picture you ever painted. We took this picture of Allison. Some of you probably have already seen it at the wedding. Just a beautiful, beautiful picture. One of the most beautiful pictures I've ever seen. And just imagine you painted that picture. It's a beautiful picture. And about halfway through, you're painting this picture, and somebody spills spaghetti sauce on it. Or maybe you spill spaghetti sauce on it. Right? What are you going to do? Well, guess what? You get to choose because you're the creator. You made the picture. So whether you wash it off or whether you start over and throw it away, you get to decide because you made it. And God is the creator of the world. And guess what? He gets to set the rules. He gets to set what he wants. And as creatures, our job is to do what we've been created to do, to fulfill our purpose. Everything that is made for a purpose, including you. And so this isn't my view that I'm pushing on the rest of the world. This is God's view, the creator of the world, that he gave to us. And I'm simply saying, hey, if we want things to work well, we ought to follow the directions. Right? If you want it to work, then just follow the directions of the guy who made it. It's going to work better. Marriage is honorable. Everything else is a perversion. Living together before you're married. 1 Thessalonians 4:1-8. Finally then, brethren, we urge and exhort you in the Lord Jesus that you should abound more and more, just as you receive from us how you ought to walk and to please God, for you know what commandments we gave you through the Lord Jesus. For this is the will of God, your sanctification, that you should abstain from sexual immorality, that each of you should know how to possess in his own vessel, in sanctification and honor, not in passion of lust, like the Gentiles who do not know God. That no one should take advantage of and defraud his brother in this matter, because the Lord is the avenger of all such, as we are forewarned you and testified. For God did not call us unto uncleanness, but in holiness. And therefore, he who rejects this does not reject man, but God, who also has given us his Holy Spirit. It is not right to live together and to fornicate before you get married. It is wrong. And if you do it, it's not sinning against the pastor. It's not me that's going to be offended. You're sinning against a holy God. And then you're going to ask him to bless this thing that you've done in direct disobedience to his word. And if we call ourselves Christians, we ought not to do it. Divorce. Matthew 19:3-9. The Pharisees also came to him, testing him and saying to him, is it lawful for a man to divorce his wife for just any reason? What do you think the answer is? Sure. They're not getting along. We don't want them to be miserable, right? We don't want them to have to suffer with each other. Is it lawful for a man to divorce his wife for just any reason? Notice the question they didn't ask, which is the question that he's going to answer. They didn't ask, is it good for a man to divorce his wife, right? They just said, can I get away with it? Can I get away with divorcing my wife if I don't like her anymore and she's driving me crazy? We were at this counseling conference Friday night and yesterday. We got to come home a little bit early, but one of the guys was talking about marriage. And he was saying, you know, as a single person, he said, I really had my spiritual life all together. I loved myself. I was at peace with myself. I had, you know, I was kind to myself. I was good to myself. I was patient with myself. I mean, just everything was going so well. And then I got married. And then all of a sudden, it's like, God, this woman you gave me is messed up. She's making me angry, impatient, unholy, right? So the Pharisees came to him, testing him and saying, is it lawful for a man to divorce his wife for just any reason? And he answered and said to them, have you not read that he who made them at the beginning made them male and female? And said, for this reason a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. So then they are no longer two, but one flesh. And therefore, what God has joined together, let not man separate. What God has joined together, let not man separate. They said to him, why then did Moses command to give a certificate of divorce and to put her away? And he said, Moses, because of the hardness of your hearts, permitted you to divorce your wives. But from the beginning it was not so. And I say to you, whoever divorces his wife except for sexual immorality and marries another commits adultery, and whoever marries her who is divorced commits adultery. And after that, the disciples said, well, maybe it's better not to get married at all, if that's the case. Why? Well, because that's really serious. That's really serious. You can't just try the girl out for a while, see if she, you know, it's going to work out or not. No. You got to make a commitment, a lifelong commitment. When God looked down and saw what he did, that's what he was looking at. He was looking at this family structure where two people would get together and they would say, I'm committed to you for life. I'm going to love you for life. And he looked at that and he said, genius. Genius, I did it, it's brilliant, I love it. Every time I look at this, it just, man, I just love what I did there. Just great. It's just fantastic. So what do we see as the purpose of family? Well, in the beginning, God gives us a direct purpose. Genesis 1:28, God blessed them and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and subdue it, have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, over every living thing that moves on the earth. The purpose of family is to fill and subdue the earth. To have children. To raise those children. Right? To turn the resources that God has given us into productive things to be a benefit to both ourselves and to our communities. To fill the earth and to subdue it. Right? To turn this wild ground into something useful. And there's another purpose that Paul explains more clearly in Ephesians chapter 5. And that is to be a picture of God's love. Families are to be a picture of God and His love. Ephesians 5, 22 through 20, through 33 says, wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, as also Christ is the head of the church, and He is the Savior of the body. Therefore, just as the church is subject to Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. And husbands, love your wives, just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her, that he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of water by the word, that he might present her to himself a glorious church, not having a spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and without blemish. So husbands ought to love their own wives as their own bodies. And he who loves his wife loves himself. For no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes it and cherishes it, just as the Lord does the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. For this reason a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. This is a great mystery. I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let each one of you in particular so love his own wife as himself, and let the wife see that she respects her husband. What an amazing thing that our families are given this purpose to reflect God on earth, to reflect the nature of God and man in this relationship of husband and wife. What an amazing thing that God has done. He said, wives, I want you to love your husbands like the church is to love God. And husbands, I want you to love your wife like Christ loved you and the church. And it's supposed to be a picture. It's supposed to be a representation. Just like Christ submits to the Father and does what he sees him doing, does what he tells him to do. Men are to submit to Christ and do what they see him doing and what he tells them to do. And in that same way, wives are to submit to their husbands and do what they see them doing, what they tell them to do. And so we see this picture of beautiful submission and love, and building each other up, mutual submission under God, this wonderful thing called family. And you might say, well, but. Hey, we got time. We're going to be on this subject for a while. We'll get to your but. Don't worry. But I just want to this morning set the table and say that family is awesome. God looked at family and he said, this is very, very good. Let's pray. Dear gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, you have so much to say about families. You wrote a whole book about families, about your interaction with families, about your calling families, about your instructions to families. And Lord, as we looked previously about our conscience and the individual and how he's to govern himself, Lord, as we turn our attention to families, Lord, we must recognize at the outset that families are a wonderful and good thing. They are not a result of the fall of sin. They are not a result of disobedience. This was the plan from the beginning. This was the instructions from the beginning. That it was not good for man to be alone. That he was to find a wife. A good thing. A wife. A gift from you. And he's to love her, protect her, provide for her, lay down his life for her, live for God, for her. Lord, you have given us this wonderful picture of what a family is to be, where the Father lays down his life like Christ lays down his life for the church, but yet leads her, makes her holy, makes her pure, loves her. Lord, I pray that we as fathers, as husbands, Lord, that we would, as imperfectly as we are, that we would do our best to fulfill that role in the lives of our wives. Lord, we don't deserve your goodness, but you've given it to us. And then we have this blessing to share it with others. So Lord, I pray that as we receive your love, we would pour it out into our families. Lord, that we would fight for our families, that we would fight for purity and holiness in our families. Lord, without that, we won't see you. We won't see the benefits. We won't see the blessings, but we won't see you. So, Lord, help us. Lord, as we get ready to enter into this time of looking at families for the next few weeks, Lord, help us to really not just listen to it on Sunday mornings, but to take it home and to really put it into our practice, into our lives. Lord, you desire to bless us, but we must be in a place of blessing and not of discipline. So help us to be there. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.